scripture I'm going to use. Isn't exactly what I want to talk about tonight, but it deals indirectly with it. I'm going to read out of the book of Moroni, 7th chapter, and everybody's heard this, I'm sure. We'll start in the 50th verse. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity, for if he have not charity, he is nothing, wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure.
We'll now be favored with a special number.
Jay's sermon. where he said that we need to make a covenant with one another. I want to begin tonight by reading out of the first chapter of Messiah. And I want to talk a little bit today, tonight, about what Don talked about this morning, except in a different sense. I want to talk about those people that he talked about that were serving the others. I want to start with the 38th verse. It's page 211 for all that are following along. And these are the words which he spake and caused to be written. And this is King Benjamin saying, "My brethren, all ye that have assembled yourselves together, you that can hear my words, which I shall speak unto you this day, for I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, that you should hearken unto me and open your ears that ye may hear, and your hearts that ye may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God may be unfolded to your view. I have not commanded you to come up hither that ye should fear me, or that ye should think that I of myself am more than a mortal man. But I am like as yourselves, subject to all manner of infirmities of mind and of body and mind. Yet as I have been chosen by this people, and was consecrated by my Father, and was suffered by the hand of the Lord that I should be a ruler and a king over this people, and have been kept and preserved by his matchless power, to serve thee with all the might, mind, and strength which the Lord hath granted unto me. I say unto you, as I have been suffered to spend my days in your service, even up to this time, and have not sought gold nor silver, nor any manner of riches of you, neither have I suffered that ye should be confined in dungeons, nor that ye should make slaves one of another, or that ye should murder or plunder or steal or commit adultery. Or even I have not suffered that ye should commit any manner of wickedness, and have taught you that ye should keep the commandments of the Lord in all things which he hath commanded you. And even I myself have labored with mine own hands that I might serve you, and that you should not be laden with taxes, that there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. But of all these things which I have spoken, ye yourselves are witnesses this day." And we all know this was a king. He had done all these things because he was serving the people. "Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast, neither do I tell these things that thereby I might accuse you. But I tell you these things that ye may know that I can answer a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you that because I said unto you that I spent my days in your service, I did not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom. Ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another. And behold also, if I, whom ye call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet has been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, oh, how had you ought to thank your heavenly king? I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render with all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God who has created you and has kept and preserved you and has caused that you should rejoice and has granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if ye should serve him who has created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say unto you that if ye should serve him with your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants." We know that Don read part of this morning. But I want you to take notice that when we are in the service of our fellow beings, we're only in the service of God. I want to read a poem that I think Brother Hausnick wrote. And I want to relate it to this and further scriptures. It's called "The Master is Coming." They said, "The Master is coming to honor the town today, and none can tell at whose house or home the master will choose to stay. And I thought while my heart beat wildly, what if he should come to mine? How would I strive to entertain and honor the guest divine? And straight I turned to toiling to make my house more neat. I swept and polished and garnished and decked it with blossoms sweet. I was troubled for fear the master might come ere my task was done, and I hastened and worked the faster and watched the hurrying sun. But right in the middle of my duties, a woman came to my door. She had come to tell me her sorrows and comfort and aid to implore. And I said, I cannot listen nor help you any today. I have greater things to attend to. And the pleader turned away. But soon there came another, a cripple, thin, pale, and gray, and said, oh, let me stop and rest a while in your home today. And I said, I am grieved and sorry, but I cannot help you today, for I look for a great and noble guest. And the cripple went away. And I thought that I would spring to meet him and serve him with utmost care, when a little child stood by me with face so sweet and fair. And I said, I am sorry for you. You are sorely in need of care, but I cannot stop to give it. You must hasten off elsewhere. I waited till night had deepened and the master had not come. He entered some other door, I cried, and gladdened some other home. Then the master stood before me, and his face was grave and fair. Three times today I came to your door and craved your pity and care. Three times you sent me onward, unhelped and uncomforted, and the blessing you might have had was lost, and your chance to serve has fled. O Lord, dear Lord, forgive me. How could I know it was thee? My very soul is ashamed and bowed in the depths of humility. And he said, the sin is pardoned, but the blessing is lost to thee. For comforting not the least of mine, ye have failed to comfort me. And you know, I was really touched when I read that.
I didn't write it, though. It's in that book that I
read. Whoever wrote it, I was sure impressed with this poem. And it let me know a duty that not only physically do we have to help each other and help people to come, they're needy, but we have the same thing spiritually within us, within our body. And how many times can we be here with everybody and see that someone has a need, but we're busy at the time, and we don't go and we don't help them in any way that we can. And I'm so guilty of that. Looks like someone, you know, so many times I see someone that looks like they have some problem on their shoulders, and I do like this poem. I turn them away. I have other things to do. I want to read a scripture in Galatians. Sixth chapter, first and the second verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, so many times we point the finger instead of help somebody, and I'm speaking of myself. And I have a hard time sometimes bearing other people's burdens, but I know that it's something that the Lord's given us to do. And I always think, well, how am I supposed to bear someone else's burdens? Mine are so heavy, I have a hard time bearing them myself. But the Lord always gives us the strength that, and the promise that when we help someone else, we're just helping Him. And we're doing it for Him. I'd like to turn to Mosiah, the second chapter. For those that haven't read this, in the first and second chapter, it's so neat. You just need to read it. It says a lot. I want to read. I want to start in the 24th verse. And ye will not have mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. And ye will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor, and ye will administer of your substance to him that standeth in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, and I've done this before, the man has brought upon himself his misery, therefore I will stay my hand and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same has great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. And I like this next question that he poses. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind? You know, just like Don said this morning, we have to thank God for these things, and it's all because of him that we have them. And behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for remission of your sins. And has he suffered that you have begged in vain? Nay, he has poured out his spirit upon you, and has caused that your heart should be filled with joy, and has caused that your mouth should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance, so exceeding great was your joy. You know, if we turn away people and our own brethren that have a spiritual problem or a physical, like it says, we have great cause to repent. And you know, I think we should be more aware of each other in service. And when we see that our brother has a problem, what could be more important than going and talking to him or helping him in any way we can? You know, Andy and I had an experience when I was working with Ken. And we was down at First Avenue in Roosevelt, and there happened to be a man down there that lived on the streets and lived back there by a big trash dumpster. And we went there to work one day, and we had another guy with us that had brought his lunch. We saw this old man back there, and we went and got his lunch, and we took it back there to the man, and we says, you know, you want something to eat? And he wouldn't take it. Felt kind of bad about that. But you know, I felt good about myself that I at least asked the man, because I'd never seen anybody in that condition before. But instead, he'd go and rummage through the garbage and get something to eat. And I always felt so bad for him. And that's what I want to bring it down here now. And now, if God, who has created you, on you, whom ye are dependent for your lives, and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask that is right, in faith believing that ye shall receive, well then, how had ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have one to another? And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perisheth not and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for withholding your substance which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And yet you put up no petition, nor repent of the thing which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those who are rich as pertaining to the things of the world. And again I say unto the poor who have not, and yet have sufficient, that you remain from day to day, I mean all you who deny the beggar, because ye have not, I would that ye say in your hearts, that I give not because I have not, but if I had, I would give. You know, this is speaking of a physical sense. And we all know that the scriptures is just full of, you know, that we always have to remember the poor and those that haven't been as fortunate in life as we have. And even though they may have brought it on themselves, we can't tell them, well, I'm sorry, you brought it on yourself. It's your own fault. I'm not going to give you anything. Because then we aren't any better than they are. Because, you know, like it said up before this, that we're all beggars and we've all asked God for forgiveness. Why should, you know, how can the Lord give us forgiveness if we... And this is another point I want to bring up about forgiveness. Don spoke a little of it today. Forgiving one another of their offenses, you know. And whether he brought it on himself or not, we're not the ones to judge. Just that we know that they stand in need. And the same spiritually. If someone has a problem spiritually that they brought on themselves, that doesn't mean we turn them away. And even if it was against us, but we go and we try our hardest to help them over the problem. You know, not to get off the subject or anything, but I was reading The Hand of Fellowship, thinking about his last month's Hand of Fellowship, or Zion's Advocate. And I was thinking about these things, you know, that we should be trying harder to serve one another, and when we see people that have a problem, help them. And then I thought, you know, how many times have I offended somebody by what I've said? How many times have I taken offense by what somebody said? And there was a article in there about offenses. I read a bit of it, and I was impressed by a statement that the author made. He said, you know, I remember hearing a brother say to another brother, you can't offend me because I love you too much. I thought how neat that would be if I could do that. If what someone said that might have hurt me and might have offended me, if I could say, I'm not going to let him offend me because I love him too much. And that's the same with everything we do in our service to one another. We have to be mindful that we don't offend people. But then we also got to have that love that we know that even though we disagree, we won't take the offense. I'd like to turn to Alma's 16th chapter. I want to start in the 219th verse. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him, cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks, cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening, yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies, yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness, cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them, cry over the flocks of your fields that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and for the welfare of those who are around you. And now behold, My brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing. And ye are as hypocrites who do deny the faith. You know, it mentions visiting the sick and afflicted. You know, I read that. I look back in my life and I see that I haven't always done that. You know, I always ask myself, well, why do I want to go visit them? I'll just get sick. But that's something that we need to do. If someone was in the hospital sick, and if they had a disease, does that mean I'm not going to go see them because I might get sick? They could be in there for a long time and need somebody. But I like what it says in our prayers. We pray for our welfare and for the welfare of those around us. And I think that's both physically, but most of all spiritually. That we pray for everybody's welfare spiritually. And then when they have a need, that we go and we try and we fill that need, if we can. I want to go over to the Bible, 10th chapter, Luke. I'd just like to mention the fact that in this thing of service that we have with our brothers and sisters, which is part of that charity that I read about, we have to keep in mind that we might not always have a chance, and that we never know when we'll be taken home. And when we have a chance to serve somebody, we have to make the best of that chance and take hold of it, just like testifying. You know, I was impressed by what Brother Oldham said last year when he came to our reunion. He said, you know, today's the first day in the rest of our lives. That might sound meaningless, but I thought about it. He was so true. We start today. It's the first day in the rest of our lives, and we can do what we want. But what if tomorrow for us never comes? When we have a chance to help somebody, just like testifying, when that prayer service is over, you'll never have that time and that chance again. You might have another chance, but you'll never have that chance again. And when we have a chance, we have to try our hardest. Sometimes it is hard, but we have to try our hardest to fill the need. I want to read a parable now. We'll start in the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he answered unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. You know, even though chance that we might see somebody and pass by, But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do likewise. You know, I've also reminded of the parable where the son had, a father had 2 sons, and one took off and went with part of his money, father's money, and the other son stayed and was always doing his father's will. And the one son ran out of money. He'd spent it on things and he'd done things foolish. He said, I'm going to go home and tell my father I'm not worthy to be called his son because of all I've done. And he went home and his father received him and put a robe on him and killed a fatted calf. And the other brother that had been good to his father all his life, he was upset that they were rejoicing over that. And his father went out. He wouldn't come into the party. And his father came out and he asked him about it. And he said, all this time, I've been so good to you and I've kept your commandments and you've never done this for me. And his father said, you know, we should rejoice that your brother's back and that he was once dead and now he lives. He came back and he'd asked that forgiveness. So many times, look at how other people fare in their life. I ask myself, well, you know, I've tried the best I can and here this person comes along and it seems like they just get everything in life. But they stood in need, and the son stood in need, and the father answered that need. And it reminds me of our Father in Christ. When we have a need, He answers our need. He doesn't ask questions, and He doesn't say, well, is it your own fault? I'm not going to help you now. He doesn't think about that. He just fulfills that need. And we, like the Good Samaritan, we have to fulfill those needs that people have. If someone wants to come and talk to you, if I had homework to do and someone wanted to come and talk to me, what can I put first? If it was an important paper, I'd have to say, the paper would have to go. I'd have to do it later if someone stood in need. I'd like to go to Colossians, 4th chapter. This reminds me of another duty that we have. Excuse me, the 3rd chapter. We'll start in the 12th verse. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And we find that, like he said, that if someone has a quarrel against us, we still have to forgive. And just like Don mentioned today, that we have to forgive one another. I want to read out of the 25th chapter of Matthew. going to start in the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep at His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What we have done for our brothers and sisters, like King Benjamin said, when he was in the service of his fellow being, he was only in the service of God. And like Christ just said, that when we've treated other people the way we treat them, that's how we treat Him. And like he says, you know, if we can't love our brother, like Don read today, if we can't love our brother, then we don't love the Lord, if we don't love our brothers and sisters. I want to read something in closing. I didn't have very many scriptures tonight, and I didn't feel it was necessary that I had a bunch, because I feel the thought that I want to say is can be said by those scriptures that I used. You know, I want to put in what I've said with this poem, but this is a little different. It's called This Day for God. And this was written in Zion's Advocate. Maybe some of you have read it, maybe some of you haven't. Today will disappear tonight, whatever it may lack, and there will be no way for us to ever bring it back. That's just the first little part of it there. And like I said before, it's just like the statement that Bob made, you know, today is the first day of the rest of our lives. So why not use each minute now before it fades away to honor God in every deed and with each word we say? Not only God, but like Jay said, that we form that covenant with one another, the covenant to love each other and to serve each other, which all the scriptures teach. Like it said in Mosiah, that we even teach our little children to love and serve one another. And in doing that, we honor God in the words we say to our brothers, their love, and not only to our brothers, but with thankfulness to God for our brothers and sisters. Today may be the last for us before we have to die, so why throw caution to the wind when it may be goodbye? Tomorrow may become today, and we may still be here, but God will know how well we lived, and if we were sincere. And only as we live our lives from day to day on earth can we be hopeful of that goal of everlasting worth. You know, I think it's so important. Can't ever stress it enough. In the day that we live, that we never know what's going to happen to us tomorrow, if we'll be here tomorrow. So when we see our brothers and sisters in need, or anybody on the street, if it was an enemy in need, the Lord tells us that we're supposed to love our enemies too. And we have to be loving enough and servant enough to each other that we'll help each other out in any way we can. And when we see somebody in a problem, It may not be our own, and we might not want to even get involved. But if they ask our help, we can't withhold our hand. And sometimes brothers and sisters don't know, and I know that's the way I am sometimes, I don't even know that I need that help. And someone will say, well, you don't look very good tonight. I say, I feel fine, you know. I say, well, let's go out and talk. And all them things I've been building up in my mind, we get it talked out, and I'm so much better the next day. Because someone saw my need. And it's just like God. So many times, some days I just feel so good within me, and it just seems like before the day's over, I'm up down. And although I don't hear an audible voice, I can hear that sweet words that Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." And if I have a need, I knew He's going to take care of it, and I felt that peace. Because although maybe a lot of times I deserve what I've gotten, He still forgave me. Like we're supposed to forgive one another. And whether we bring something on ourselves or not, we got to have that love that reigns over everything, that charity. It says, well, I still love Him. Although He did bring it on Himself and help Him, just like God has us. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Joel. Let's remember the several announcements. We're going to close this evening with number 288.